Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awake, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can also contact the show. You can also reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search and type in We Talk Productions and listen to this show live. You can reach us again on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search and type in We Talk Productions and listen to this show live. Tonight's topic, by request, the heroin epidemic. The production and use of heroin has tripled over the last 3 decades. Today's heroin is more potent than the heroin of the 1960s, and apparently in high demand. Heroin use has increased dramatically, and so has the number of those who overdose. Numbers of those who overdose are at epidemic numbers. From Provocative Thought, we must remember that an individual cannot function at his or her full capacity if their thinking and health is impaired, in this case, by an external entity, in this case, toxin, poison, or drug. If the individual cannot function at his full capacity, the relationships the individual forms or attempts to form will be impaired. The family will be impaired, and the community will be impaired. To impair or cause the destruction of the mind and health of a people is to facilitate and perpetuate the utter destruction of that people. We are not naturally born addicted to poison. We must ask ourselves, what draws us to them like a moth to a flame? Why do we seek our own destruction? Why are we so at risk, so vulnerable, gullible, and accepting of a condition that enslaves us and destroys us? We will find some answers in our socialization and other answers in our own minds. I invite everyone to search deeply. Our lives and future depends on it. Economics also play a role in the facilitating and perpetuating of the disease of addiction. The distribution and sale of opioids are not always illegal. Remember, to quote, all it takes for evil men to succeed is for good men to do nothing. Do something. Carlton Steed, Provocative Thought. From the CDC, heroin is a synthetic, highly addictive opioid that can produce intense feelings of euphoria. Euphoria, that's that feeling you get when everything is jippity-jippity. It's okay. You're feeling good. It's difficult to discuss heroin without discussing opiates and the poppy plant from which they come. So, from CNBC in 2006, Ms. Dinah Gusaki says, found that approximately 80% of the global opiate supply is consumed in the United States. Pain drugs are the second largest pharmaceutical class globally after cancer medicine. There was about 3 million pain prescriptions written in 2015, says Irina Kofler, senior analyst, specialty pharma, Mizuho Securities, USA, she told CNBC. 300 million pain prescriptions equal about $24 billion on the market. United States, which represents only 5% of the global population, but as I said before, 80% of the global opioid supply is being consumed in the United States, which only represents 5% of the global population. That being true, sounds like we have a big, big problem, to quote our president, a really big problem here in the United States. So, if you include Canada and Western Europe, consumption of global opiates, then it increases to 95%, which leaves 5% of the opioid supply for the rest of the world, which is, whew. In most countries, the use of opioid prescriptions is limited to acute hospitalization, trauma, like burns, surgery, childbirth, end-of-life care, hospice, I guess that's what you call that, including patients with cancer and terminal illnesses. So that's a hospice situation. But in the United States, every adult in America can have a bottle of pills and then some, says U.S. Surgeon General Vivek Murthy. So, the Foundation for a Drug-Free World said the truth about heroin. A single dose of heroin can lead to addiction. The origins of heroin, and we spoke about this before. Heroin was first manufactured in 1898 by the Bayer Pharmaceutical Company of Germany and marketed as a treatment for tuberculosis as well as a remedy for morphine addiction, as well as a remedy for morphine addiction. Heroin is made from the rhizin of poppy plants. Milky sap-like opium is first removed from the pod of the poppy flower. This opium is refined to make morphine, then further refined into forms of heroin. So that's the relationship there. So there is a relationship. These guys are brothers or cousins, however you want to metaphorically put it. Opium, heroin, morphine. You're talking about basically the same thing. Heroin-related overdose in the U.S. As heroin has increased, so have, of course, heroin-related overdoses in the United States. So heroin-related overdoses have had more than quadrupled since 2010. It's 2017 now. From 2014 to 2015, heroin overdose rates increased 20.6%, with nearly 13,000 people dying in 2015 from heroin overdose. In 2015, males aged 25 to 44 had the highest heroin death rate at 13.2 per 100,000, which has an increase of 22.2% from 2014. Past misuse of prescription opioids, those are the legal medicines that people are misusing, is the strongest risk factor for starting heroin use. So we have a connection with prescription opioids to heroin use. A very strong connection. American Society of Addiction Medicine says of the 20.5 million Americans, 12 or older, that had a substance use disorder, in 2015, no, I said that, of the 20.5 million Americans 12 or older that had a substance use disorder in 2015, 2 million had a substance use disorder involving prescription pain relievers, and 591,000 had a substance abuse disorder involving, of course, heroin. The national opioid overdose epidemic. Drug overdose is the leading cause of accidental death in the U.S., with 52,444 lethal drug overdoses in 2015. Opioid addiction is driving this epidemic, with 20,101 overdose deaths related to prescription pain relievers and 12,990 overdose deaths related to heroin in 2015. From 1999 to 2008, overdose death rate sales and substance use disorder treatment admissions related to prescription pain relievers increased in parallel. So as these things occurred, the increase in use or overdoses, so has the increase in admissions into substance abuse programs. The overdose death rate in 2008 was nearly four times that in 1999. Sales of prescription pain relievers in 2010 were four times those in 1999. And substance users disorder treatment admission rate in 2009 was six times the rate in 1999. So what we have is a runaway train here, and the train's called heroin or opiate addiction use or what have you. In 2012, 259 million prescriptions were written for opioids, which is more than enough to give every American adult their own bottle of pills. So I'm going to say that one more time, because are we injured here? Are we getting a lot of injuries here? What's going on? In 2012, 259 million prescriptions were written for opioids, which is more than enough to give every American adult their own bottle of pills. Four in five new heroin users started out misusing prescription painkillers. 94% of respondents in a 2014 survey of people in treatment for opioid addiction said they chose to use heroin because prescription opioids were far more expensive and harder to obtain. Current legal production of opium. From the DEA Museum and Visitors Center. Legal growing of opium for medical use currently takes place in India, Turkey, and Australia. 2,000 tons of opium are produced annually, and this supplies the world with the raw material needed to make medical products. Currently, there are three main sources of illegal opium. These are main sources. We're not ruling out anybody. Burma, Afghanistan, and Colombia. Once heroin frightened people. More recently, some people have tried to make heroin use fashionable. What they tried to make fashionable was the heroin added look, the blank expression, the waxy complexion, dark circles under the eyes, sunken cheeks, excessive thinness. Greasy hair was promoted in popular magazines and fashion circles as chic. Now, that sounds like the goth look, but heroin estimated annual market value of U.S. is $55 billion. When all opiates are considered, the number may reach up to $65 billion. That's a lot of money, and it kind of speaks to why this thing isn't going away. One, there's a high demand for it, and the addiction helps, create that. And somebody is making a lot of money. That $65 billion, that's a lot of money. Nearly all heroin fueling a U.S. resurgence enters the country over the 1,093-mile Mexico border, according to the U.S. Drug Enforcement Agency. That's the DEA. Customs officers have seized more heroin in the first 6 months of fiscal 2014 than during each of the past four fiscal years. So in 2014, they seized more heroin coming across the border than they have in the three previous years. So that's a problem. So is the demand that great? Apparently so. Baltimore is the heroin capital of the United States, says ABC News. I don't have the date on that. In the mid-90s, Baltimore became a key East Coast distribution point for high-purity South American heroin smuggled to the United States from Colombia. South American heroin is substantially more potent than its East Asian and Mexican counterparts. Government agencies estimated that 1 in 10 of the Baltimore's city residents are addicted to the drug. 1 in 10 from the Mount Laurel Recovery Center by Christina Utte. The production and use of heroin has tripled over the last three decades. Again, a full 68% of the world's 13.5 billion opioid takers use heroin. Houston, we have a problem. Opioid use leads to heroin use. What a vicious cycle or circle. The treatment worse than what you are being treated for. One addiction leading to another. Mount Laurel Recovery Center continues, says, during the 1850s, opium addiction was a major problem in the United States. The solution was to provide opium addicts with a less potent, non-addictive substitute. That was morphine. The morphine addiction soon became a bigger problem than the opium addiction. I guess you guys know where I'm going with this. As with opium, the morphine problem was solved by another so-called non-addictive substitute. Now, how did these guys come up with the non-addictiveness of these substances, and they all come from the same place? Anyway, the non-addictive substitute was heroin, which proved to be even more addictive than morphine. I can't imagine, but who am I, that someone at some point used heroin as a medical treatment for people who were addicted to morphine, because it seems strange. Okay, so heroin became a bigger problem, right? Same thing. So they got another substitute for heroin, methadone. That was developed in 1937 by a German scientist as a surgical painkiller. It was exported to the U.S., and they changed the name to dolefine. In 1947, they renamed it methadone. Of course, it proved to be more addictive than heroin. As we know, people today, if you're familiar, you know that we have the methadone clinics, so for heroin addicts. So that right there is, I don't know, what kind of scientist is recommending these type of remedies for? They all have the same source. I don't know. I'm going to keep going because I can't be the only one just thinking that this sounds crazy. By the late 1990s, the mortality rate of heroin addicts was estimated to be as high as 20 times greater than the rest of the population. So if you were on heroin, your life was at risk 20 times greater. And it's present in its purest form. Heroin is a fine white powder, but more often is found to be rosy gray, brown, or black in color. Coloring comes from additives which have been used to dilute it. Some of the additives are sugar, caffeine, and other substances. Some, you didn't even believe some of the stuff they cut heroin with. Street heroin is sometimes cut with strychnine. That's a poison. It's all poison, but, or other poisons. The various additives do not fully dissolve, and when they are injected into the body, can clog the blood vessels that lead to the lungs, kidneys, and brain. That means you can have an embolism, kidney failure, stroke, a lung failure. This could lead to infection and destruction of the vital organs. Whew. The user buying heroin on the street never knows what the strength or what it's cut with. So they're constantly at risk of overdose from the drugs that they buy. A person can feel extroverted, outgoing, able to communicate easily with others, and may experience a sensation of heightened sexual performance. Please, anybody listening to this, do not think about using heroin as an aphrodisiac, because they go on to say, but not for long. Heroin is highly addictive and withdrawal extremely painful. The drug quickly breaks down the immune system. Leaving you sickly, thin, bony, and ultimately dead. So, we have another disease going around that attacks the immune system. It's called AIDS. That's just one. So, that sounds like we got two. These opioids or heroin, however you want to look at it, attack the immune system. And we have AIDS, where your immune system becomes compromised also. That's a hell of a way I don't know. I'm going to keep going. You guys make your own, come to your own conclusions. Heroin has a stimulant used for rat poison, which induces violent convulsions and is deadly. It's estimated that 13.5 million in the world take opioids, like substitutes, including 9.2 million who use heroin. So heroin is very, very popular. And I bet you it makes you feel euphoric, hey, what's up? So you're feeling good. We have a caller on 1644. Welcome to Provocative Thought. Hello, caller. Welcome to Provocative Thought. Oh, I didn't catch you.
Hello?
Hello? Yes.
Hello? How you doing, Colin?
All right, Kenny.
Yeah. All right. Well, it always been a heroin problem ever since, I'd say, the mid to late 60s. It never went anywhere.
That's right.
And it always was an epidemic. Yeah. Always.
Never a medical problem. Until recently, it's more like they treat it like a medical problem. A disease.
Yeah, they used to dress it like. They used to dress it as a law enforcement problem. But they still do. But I could say that primarily heroin was placed in our neighborhoods, but spread out. It spread out to the suburbs, the rural areas. No borders whatsoever. And ironically, I read an article that ever since we've been in the Afghanistan war, the supply of heroin has increased.
Right. 2007.
The supply of heroin,
2007.
Yeah, so... to be honest with you, the United States always has been trying to get into the drug trade, I guess if they don't have the resource, they make their own in their laboratory. So, yes, it's just like, huh?
They have three resources that are so-called legal that produce all, you know, the product opioids for them, for all medical use.
It's definitely destroyed communities. Destroyed communities, and addicts are getting younger, and because back in the old days, heroin used to be an old man drug, you know, adult drug. Kids you could mess with it or anything like that. But now, the youth are involved on the selling side as well as the user side. So, like you said before, that young, And also, you got to look at it this way, you know, far as our communities, our corners, you know, the open air market, as they call it. Sometimes this is, I'm not condoning it, I'm not supporting them or anything like that, but they see it as a way as making income for their family, half of
it. It is.
Well, yeah.
We can't argue that. Yeah. That is a way of making, earning ends meet. The same as the pharmaceutical companies that produce these so-called legal drugs that are doing the same thing.
Right. And no law against them. Isn't that ironic? No law whatsoever. You could sell, what was that number you spit out? The United
80%,
States?
80% of the opioids. 80%.
Yeah, we're talking about
opioids.
The pills, right? Yeah.
Yeah, opioids being consumed by in the United States. We represent 5% of the global population. Now, that is crazy.
And we 80% of the users. And we
80% of the, man, that is, I didn't know that. I wouldn't know that, but I mean that's
crazy.
What
isn't
we gonna
it?
Do?
That is crazy.
That's bizarre.
80% of the world users are located in the United States of America.
Yeah. Opiate.
This must be a stressed out country then.
Man, that's what I'm saying. Is everybody in pain? What's going on? Everybody stressed out, they're in mental pain, or is everybody trying to get a lawsuit so they get the pills? You know, my back hurt, doesn't really hurt, but I'm going to sell the pills. What is going on that you have all this opiate use? Because that's bizarre.
Escapism. As James Brown said in one of his songs, escapism. Trying to escape.
Hold on, Kenny. We got another caller. 8282. Welcome to Provocative Thought.
Hello. How you doing?
All right. How you doing, brother?
Good. Well, let me start off by putting it in perspective. Putting it in perspective. It's been a race war from the door. And most recently, the heroin was brought in by the U.S. government in the 60s to answer the political awareness and response of black unity that was developed from black folks who have been expressing themselves as they have since they got to this country, which was fighting oppression and violence against their community. It was never a civil rights movement. It was a movement to liberation. And this was white man's response. This is the United States government's response to that. And as you and I are both witnesses to the organizing of the street gangs, the political consciousness of the people, there was a time in this country when black folks seriously believed there was going to be a revolution. But what they did was they brought their heroin in and flooded the community. And then they went and to destroy the warrior class. And then they put the developed drug programs and put the educated bougie Negroes in charge of those things. Gave them funding so that they had a vested interest in their own community's destruction. You know what I mean? Gave them program money. That's how it went down. You know what I mean? So what we have now, I heard you mention that it's now classified as a medical problem. It didn't become a medical problem until the chickens came home to roost. As long as our children were falling out and falling all over the streets, it wasn't no problem. But now it has flooded the suburbs. It's tearing up the suburbs
right.
across the country. White kids is dying. They look. You can go down. You can go down to 52nd Jefferson now. See a bunch of white young teenagers down there trying to get some heroin. Don't nothing make me happier. When I, you know what I do when I get the bus? I get up and I drive past Parkside Avenue to the methadone clinic and watch all them crackers falling out. That's how I do, because that's the response. This is the fallout of a chemical warfare.
Yeah.
And it then bled over in the other community, and now it's a problem.
Right.
You know what I mean? I went to the doctor. I had an injury. My eye was hanging out. Cracker wouldn't write me a script for some Percocet. All of a sudden, they can't do it. It's a halt on the opiates, like you said, painkillers. I said, why? I said, the reason why people are fighting and lying to get them is because they work. Now, you're telling me because some people are abusing, the people who need it can't get it. But that was okay as long as it was us. Now that the children strung out, all of a sudden, they said, shut it down. Now I know doctor wants to get support writing for him. They're writing for him a 1,000 miles, you know. So, so this is cause and effect. You know what I mean? What they call reaping what you sow. And I love it. It's a beautiful thing. You know what I mean? So that's that. That's my perspective on the heroin situation. I love it. Mm. I love to see him falling out. You know what I mean? Because that's one more I ain't got to worry about.
Yeah, we got a lot of fallout. Yeah,
it's not happening as much in our community as it used to be. Our problem now is the pills. Yeah. The pills is the new heroin in our community. You know what I mean? The Percocets and all that stuff. You know what I mean? But they're manufacturing them. They're bringing it in. There's so much. They're coming in from all over. The Russians is bringing them in. Everybody's manufacturing them. You know what I mean? It's warfare. And until we realize that we're engaged in a protracted war, we're going to keep losing. So we got to understand that we don't have the same interests as these people, and we can't let ourselves be orchestrated and manipulated to follow their cues, you know what I mean, when they say something wrong, you know what I mean? And that's not a problem, you know what I mean? It's time for us to be more intelligent, start looking behind the scenes, evaluating the actions of people and why all of a sudden, you know, like they need to sit there and evaluate why these crackers all of a sudden now they want to take down some statues, you know, and we getting all excited about stupid stuff like that. We, you know what I mean? We got to start being more adult in our thinking, you know what I mean?
Right.
Time to grow up.
That's right. Mass incarceration.
Yeah, they're screaming about Trump like he's the worst thing ever. What y'all forgot? Bush? Y'all forgot Reagan? Y'all forgot Obama? Clinton? Ain't been no different all the way back to George Washington. You know what I mean? Trump is nothing. You know what I mean? If you think it's time for black folks to be more intelligent, do you actually believe that these people who committed the greatest Holocaust ever imaginable would risk their power to a vote? You know what I mean?
That's the electoral vote. That's why you have it.
Right. It won't matter. They pick it up. They should pick it up all sitting back in the hotel. You know, Jeff, that's all. That's a grand theater. That's a show they put on to give powerless people the impression that they have some say in their lives. We got caught up in a white-on-white crime. Cause that's the trick they play on the white kids, for them to keep sending them out to war, killing and dying and murdering them and stacking bodies up to the sky and all that stuff. That's white folks stuff. and then the white folks trick us. They tell us you can't have a vote, so we think that's our solution. No, that's bullshit. Vote ain't gonna do nothing. You're not gonna vote. You didn't vote your way in, and you're not gonna vote your way out of here. You know, that's game.
Okay.
Koreans don't control no election. You know what I mean?
Right.
They got power.
You know, you make a good point, because I remember when heroin was in the black community and it was right in your face. And if there's a heroin epidemic in the black community, I haven't seen it. If I remember,
that,
you know.
early 70s when the Moroccos and Sabasi had the whole city on lock. Crackers were scared to death of them, and they were organized. They were organized, and they were political scientists. And this is the same thing that was going on across the country. See, I'd be careful with the media. The media tries to take over imagery and ideas, and they make a joke out of everything. Everything we try to rally around, they'll come out and make a movie out and make it a joke, right on, right on, back, blah, blah, blah. They make a joke out of everything we do so that we'll, you know, diffuse it, to take the power out of it. But these gangs were seriously developed into a real threat. And that's what made them run that tragic magic down in it. You know what I mean? And it wasn't a medical problem then, like you said. You know, marijuana, the same marijuana that these crackers are setting up to get rich, is getting rich off of. You know what I mean? Everybody, I still know niggas in jail over that marijuana. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Off marijuana. You know what I mean? Now they all talking, they're all on Forbes talking about becoming millionaires.
Yeah, hey, that's interesting.
We gotta be careful, man. We gotta be a little more analytical and stop just taking what they say at face value. The war on drugs. Every war America has, the war on crime. Well, every war America has been on us. You know what I mean? They did a study on the Patriot Act.
Right.
And all those inclusions, those powers that granted to them, 97% of those legal powers were used on blacks.
They didn't
represent no terror cases. They were used on black criminal cases. All the power. That stuff ain't no terrorists. Ain't no terrorists. This country, America, the biggest terrorist ever the world ever seen. Ain't no terrorist power, you know? So it's time for us to start growing up and start being a little more intelligent and stop being falling for emotional distractions. You know what I mean? And recognize that, you know, one thing about cancer's going to be cancer. It can't be nothing else. You can sit around waiting and try to figure out, like you ain't figured out the right way to appeal to it. There ain't no way to appeal cancer. Cancerous cells attack healthy cells. It ain't personal. It ain't malicious. It ain't got nothing to do with love and hate. It's just what they do and who, because that's who they are. You know? So, yeah, that heroin's tearing them up. I'm seeing a special small town America, you know, small town.
So let me ask you a question. So, what is it about using heroin that makes heroin attractive? Because it's not like coke. You know what I'm saying? It's, you know, I mean. This heroin thing, better than coke.
Well, see, better than coke. Heroin got that, you know, they call it that tragic magic, because they describe it as euphoria. You know what I mean? It takes all the problems away. Everything you think about, and all these, you know, these white kids got problems with. Their mommy didn't love them. Their daddy didn't love them. And they trust one. You know, they got no connection to each other and anything. They can't connect to anything. So, you know, that's why you see them, same way you see them stuffing themselves in a barrel and going over Niagara Falls and skateboarding off of cliffs and all that and those stuff. They know they ain't got no connection to them. And they know they got no afterlife. They know their spirits are disordered. So they're always looking for the ultimate thrill. They thrill seekers. And that thing get them, boy. And once that thing get up in you, man, you know, it builds in your spine. You can't get rid of it. That shit builds up in your spine.
Yeah, I mean, it's I didn't know it attacked the immune system. But, I mean, that's just like having AIDS. After a while, using heroin, it's like... All drugs do.
All drugs do. Like you mentioned,
that's right. You're right. Because alcohol does that. When you drink a lot of alcohol, your immune system is compromised. Well, not to say alcohol is not as bad as heroin anyway. I don't even know why I said that, because we talked about alcohol. Alcohol is, has its own merit in terms of destruction. So.
Oh, yeah. And if you, you know, cataloged it all, I wonder who would, which side of the scales would be the most damaged. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know. I guess it might, that scale might swing sometimes. You know what I'm saying? From what I'm seeing, alcohol is everywhere.
Alcohol has been used to destroy whole civilizations, whole people, because it binds.
Right.
See, drugs bind to the melanin. It might take out white people and all that stuff, but the darker you are, the harder it hits you, and the harder it is for you to break free of it. That's why we have, our addictions are so hard.
Oh.
The mouse,
it's melanin,
science.
Melanated people.
Yeah.
Okay, I hope
right.
You're listening.
It binds to you. Mm-hmm. And they know it. Crack cocaine was no accident.
Right.
It's drug warfare. I mean, you know who these people are. Who gives smallpox to cold people? That's who these people are. That's what they do. You know what I mean? Madeleine Albright, the secretary, the people talk about Clinton, he's the black president.
Yeah, I know what that
means. They confronted Madeleine Albright in the thing. They asked her, they told her the embargo resulted in over 10,000 deaths. No, 10,000 deaths of Iraqi killed. She said, that's a figure I can live with. You know what I mean? I can live with that. You know what I mean? These people burn babies, man. With no problem. Look at what's happening in Haiti. You got the whole united, all the white tribes are united to guarantee that the Haiti never gets up off its feet. And they're still sucking the blood out of them.
Is that because of Toussaint, you're saying? That goes back to
Bookman
Toussaint?
Goes back to Toussaint, Bookman, yeah. The Haitian Revolution. When they whooped them
Toussaint.
Crackers' ass.
Yeah.
Well,
okay, so
you'd be surprised.
No, go ahead, Kenny. Go ahead.
You'd be surprised in history what the United States has done to many cultures. And yes, heroin was one of their weapons. It flooded in the late 60s. Plus the Vietnam War. It was a lot of brothers that participated in that. They tried to say population control. And what happened? Man, you know, Thailand grew the opiate. And, wow, and they flooded the United States with heroin. It wasn't, like my man said, it wasn't no coincidence. It's all planned, and it's all part of destruction. You know?
So,
look at the boxing wars.
The who?
The boxing wars in China.
Oh, Chinese
when they
boxes?
Went to war with China to defend their right to sell them dope.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they forced dope on them. You know what I mean? You see what I'm saying? You know, people talk about capitalism and free trade. Admiral Perry pulled up to Japan and said, I welcome you to our free market. We don't want none. Oh, yes, you do. And opened the warships and such, bombing them from the fleet until it became a free market. Until they let them in.
Let's get down and lay down.
As I was then, from the beginning. Or else the brothers in California would be in Mexico.
So, in terms of warfare, using heroin as a biological warfare agent, this new heroin, right? How did it take root, and how did it get to white kids? How did because I don't see a lot of heroin or anybody mentioning heroin in the black community. You know, I'm not saying that there's no heroin users in the black community. I'm just saying I remember when it was, and I knew who had it, who used it, and I saw them. You know what I'm saying? But now I don't see that type of thing.
White kids are traditionally very fiscally responsible when it comes to getting high. They're always looking for the cheapest way out, which is their downfall.
Right.
That's why they be up there crushing pills and shooting it. The white kids get high on anything, you know. But they're always looking for a cheap high. Ain't nothing like a $5 bag of snack to get you going.
Right, and it will get you going.
Yeah, and up jumped the devil. And it's too late now. You there now. Yeah, I see him, man. Look. I see him, man. It's a mess, boy. You go down, look at him. Go all down to Jefferson Street. Yeah, the dump stores are snacking. The dump stores, you know the dump stores are? They park out Avenue. They have 63rd Market. You know what I mean? The ones coming down from Derby. You know what I mean?
Right.
All up 63rd, 64th, and Vine and Arch and Ace up in there. Every place in cracking that. That's where it's at.
Dump
stores. The gift that keeps on giving. He's going to let you back, you know what I mean? It's more addictive than crack, I think, more on the long term. You know what I mean? But they both got their ups and downs. The heroin, you take a shot of your heroin, you cool for a minute. You know,
right.
The crackhead, he's only hot when he's getting hot. He's only cool when he's getting hot.
Right.
He stop getting high. He ain't cool no more. He need to get high no more. You know what I mean? It's ever going. It's a perpetual thing.
Right. That's interesting. They talk about the cuts and all heroin, and basically the cut. It's not even the heroin. The cut could kill you. It's not even just the heroin. You know, the cut could take you out of here.
The cut can addict you. They got so many twists on the cut. You know what I mean? Especially them, man. You go down to Badlands, they putting all kind of shit in the cut so that you want theirs.
Man.
They putting all kind of stuff so you can't.
You get that burning sensation.
High with somebody else. Right. You got to come back and get it from them.
Right. Because it don't have the same effect on you.
Right. You got the same kick.
Well, Philadelphia is, they say it's not squeaky clean as far as all this shit goes, as you mentioned, and you naming some sites that I know about, places I know, and everybody knows about the Badlands, if you're from Philly or familiar with Philadelphia. So, they said there's the availability of prescription drugs for illegal use in Philadelphia is high, but unlike most cities in America, it's getting worse here. DEA said that availability of stabilized are going down in most places, with Philadelphia, San Diego, and Detroit being an exception. That's in 2015. So I'm reading that Philadelphia is on a upswing or the downswing when it comes to, you know, drugs.
Oh, yeah.
Methamphetamine sales have stabilized. I mean, I remember heroin, then, you know, people kind of went to methamphetamine, you know, what we call Monster, things like that. So, you know, but Philadelphia's on the upswing.
The feds went to war on Monster, on the real Monster, because it was too cost effective. You know what I mean? They had to actually outlaw the chemicals. You know, Pennsylvania is a pharmaceutical state, pharmaceutical capital. They got all these big drug
Roman House and all that.
Yeah, the chemicals involved. They had to outlaw the chemicals involved in making real crank and Monster because they didn't destroy the community fast enough. Because you can get high on that, you can get some of that stuff and be high for 3 days, high for a week. That didn't cause as much destruction in the community. We need a junkie that needs to get high every 20 minutes. You know what I mean? So they had to get rid of that because it was too good a value.
Man, I think that's evil genius. Evil genius.
The economics of war.
Man.
You know? But, yeah, you see an upsurge in Philadelphia in certain things. You're like, now, there's something else they did. Now, they use the industry, the so-called, what we think is black music, but it's not black music because it's controlled by white boys, to popularize basically a Philadelphia trend with the syrup. That was a local thing. Now they can use the rappers to market that all over the South, but now it's all across the country. You know what I mean?
Well, what's the name for it now?
You know, the syrup.
Water, we call it water, syrup, you know, lick. What are they calling
it? Call water,
the,
they call, the rappers is calling it something else. They calling, they rapping about it. They calling it something else now. You know what I mean? They calling it other things. Juicy got all kinds, they making all kinds of cocktails, mixing with it and all kinds of stuff like that, you know. But it's an, you know, I mean, it's a proven fact. It's already been documented. Certain people have been underground and made very detailed documentaries on how the executives in the music industry have been very forceful in encouraging the placement of drug terms in music.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm. Make them say Nobby. They make them say Perk. They make it. They actually told to say these things. You know what I mean? Can't they admit they ain't even know what the stuff was. The industry telling them to put that in their song.
That's
you can run that down on YouTube. See, some cats did the real undercover joints. You know what I mean? They did interviews with prominent rappers where they've been, you know, man, I ain't know nothing about that stuff, but they told me to say Molly. You know what I mean? They created the Molly craze.
So, let me get this right. So,
they invented the demand.
I think we have this situation where the government or the, and then had a movie out about Rick Ross. I didn't see it, but I saw a scene. They tried to say that Rick Ross brought drugs to L.A. Is that right? Is that what movie was all about?
Oh, I didn't see the movie, man. Are you talking about Freeway Rick Ross?
Yeah, I think they had a movie about that. So just speaking on what you're saying about the media.
He was a CIA. The CIA gave him so much cocaine and carte blanche to flood LA with that stuff. Yeah, it was a documented CIA operation.
Right.
You know what I mean? Ali North and the big one fought with that. I mean, that was, you know, that it's funny how they take the sting off things. They say it like it's so automatic, a matter of fact. You know, and then breeze right over it. Like, they make it, like I said, they make a joke out of it on how these guys dropped all these drugs in the communities to finance the Iran-Contra war and, you know, and then they make heroes of these guys. They give them talk shows. You know what I mean? Ali North and G. Gordon Liddy and, you know, and the Watergate burglars and all this stuff. They start talking about what them guys did. You know what I mean? How much cocaine? You know what I mean? The brother was talking earlier about the Afghanistan move, how they went in there and took over the poppy fields and opened the gates back up, you know what I mean, flood the gates back up. You know, the U.S. government, you know what I mean, you know the saying, all these tons of cocaine, but y'all couldn't find it until it got in my pocket. You know, I could document how this country has been intimate. There's no way in the world, you know what I mean, that all that cocaine could get in this country without government approval. No way in the world. It's impossible. The younger Bush was documented to have the AWOL been caught flying cocaine. You know, I mean, all the Bush, you know, the older Bush. Who was the older Bush?
Right.
He was Noriega's partner. He the one taught Noriega how to sell drugs. And wasn't until Noriega had the audacity to tell them no, and then they said that you can't be president of your country no more.
Right.
George Sr. taught him how to sell drugs. Gave him the drug route. You know what I mean? The business. You know what I mean? You can't sell drugs in this country without... They just had a few months ago, they just caught a bunch of, I'm not talking about like a couple, I'm talking about thousands of guns, misplaced and end up, if you come find out the CIA gave them to the cartels down in Mexico. You know what I mean? They supplying them with weapons, all that stuff. You know, and then they come out and put it in the movies, be comfortable with it like it's all normal and natural. You know what I mean? You know, now it's normal and natural. The most illegal act in the world for heads of state, the assassination, they just make that a joke. And we used to, that would be grounds for uprising, impeachment, drag through the streets. But now it's common. They just laugh at it. The presidents brag about killing other heads of state. That's illegal. You can't kill. How are you going to kill people? How are you going to kill a legitimate president of the country? America has elected itself lord of the world, like this whole nuclear stuff. Why can't North Korea have nuclear weapons?
I don't know. That's another show.
We,
okay, you can talk. That is another show.
America says that all the time. They said they said they can't have it because, you know why they can't have it? Because they got them. And then America's the only one documented on the face of the earth to use them and proven that they have the willingness to use nuclear weapons. They didn't did it.
Right.
So if you want to rule the world and you got the biggest gun, you don't want nobody else to get that gun.
That's right. No time to get rid of the competition. But I need you to come back on another show for that, though.
Yeah, I tell that story. Everybody
that's another
to get
show
one,
right there. I need you to come back.
But they won't,
all right?
They won't
we got 2 minutes. Yeah, we got 2 more minutes. You definitely need to come back. You hear me?
Yes, sir. That's
you got to come back for that one. But that's a whole, that's another show.
Oh, definitely.
All right.
Yeah, that's, man, that's,
okay.
And that's so basic. Yeah, I mean, nobody even thinking. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, but I'll definitely come back on that. Let's have a moment of silence for all them poor little white kids falling out in the streets off that doo-wop.
So in summary, we want to recognize that heroin can be used as a weapon, has been used as a weapon. Chemical warfare is the process of introducing a toxin or poison into a population for the purpose of extermination, depopulation, incarceration, disruption of the family system, community culture, the individual, and the collective mind of a group of people. The target population is subdued by the epidemic of drug use, substance use, dependency, addiction, violence, self-debasing, and incarceration. A method of perpetuating the use of heroin is through the socialization and internalization of norms and codes regarding behaviors that are encouraging and socially rewarding or acceptable, not to mention the use of heroin as an option for coping with emotional and physical pain of being impoverished, subjected to aggression, violence, trauma, rejected and excluded from social economic success and psychological issues, etc. Those who seek a method of coping with their debased state of mind choose heroin as their heroine. I want to thank everybody for calling in today. Hope you guys tune in next week. Brother, I need you on a show shot for this nuclear issue. We need to get into that one. And more, because I know you have a lot to say, a lot to offer. And I want to thank everybody for calling. I want everybody, you know, this may sound simple, say no to drugs. Economic success can be achieved through perpetuation and destruction of individuals, families, and communities. We know that. It has happened. A lot of guys have made a lot of money doing that. You know, unfortunately, death and destruction breeds death and destruction. The idea that it's acceptable to gain power by any means necessary at the expense of anybody, any relationship, any marriage, any family, any community compounds and magnifies the warhead of the heroin nuclear bomb. Thank you. You still there, Sha? Uh-huh.